Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Hello.
Hey, look who's back.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know when I disappeared. I just suddenly, my internet cut out for apparently a little bit there. That worries me.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
What up, whore?
It's especially fun after a big storm because twice now, electricity has found a way to run down my internet line and melt the shit inside there, which is incredibly dangerous, and it's not supposed to do that, and I don't know why it's happened. So now I'm worried that that might have happened since that storm went through yesterday. I'm gonna call my internet company and see if I can get them to come in, because right when it cut out, my AC went on, and every time that's happened, that's been the issue.
Yeah, that sounds like it's triggering something somewhere.
Yeah, it didn't seem to do that earlier, but, you know, it just erodes over time, so it...
Yeah.
I'm gonna...
Hi, Pernell, how was game night?
Well, I'm still driving home from it, but I didn't want Aki to be saying he wasn't here at 10:15 like you said he would be. I got a marker on the ding sheet.
Actually, I was told you'd be here at 10:10, but...
No, I said 10:15.
No.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Well, I told Joe that. Wherever you heard, I told Joe 10:15. He remembered.
You did say 10:15, damn it.
Yep.
But, like, yeah, I was like, I got to make sure I get on there at the 10:15 mark. I don't want to get hit with the ding. But, no, I'm, like, maybe 5 minutes out from the house. It was a good time. This is always the slower one of the two, because for some reason this location doesn't pull as many people as the other one does, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
Nifty.
I didn't know there were two places doing it. I thought it was just the one. That's cool.
It's the one business, but they have two locations. And one night we do it at the main one, and the other we do it at the one that they opened up last summer.
Gotcha.
They just try to drum up business for them, but that's starting to get more business. It's good. So, but for whatever reason, that location just doesn't draw as many bots.
Is it out of the fucking way?
I was going to say, to be fair, for me personally, it's out of the way. But, I mean, it's like basically the first one is within 3 to 5 minutes of getting off of the interstate. The other one is more like 10 minutes after getting off the interstate, or at least it feels like it's 10 minutes after getting off the interstate.
Okay, why would you drive further when you could drive less and still hit the same place?
Because if drive further, if it's only happening at that one, if that wasn't the issue, that'd be it. But I think it's just more akin to some people just, I don't know, like they just don't like, it doesn't feel convenient. Which, that's not...
It doesn't. You have to drive a little further. That is literally what it's...
What if you're coming from the other direction, then it's closer.
People come from different directions. Joe beat me to it. Yeah, like, people come from multiple directions. Like, for some, you would think it would be closer. Unless we did a statistic, and it turns out the majority of our people come from the south. At which point, it's like, well, that complicates things. Because now I got to drive further north, and now I don't want to do that. But I'm positive a number of our people come from the same general area. Oh, math, it won't be math, and we're going to have to get people to give me their details, and people ain't sharing. So, what I'll likely do is I'll leave the tubs in the car and bring them back in after we do the episode. So, give me another 5 minutes, I'm going to run in the house and settle in.
I figure I was just keeping all of this at this point.
Well, yeah, but if I'm the first person to review a game or something, then maybe not so much.
No, you're not the first. I wouldn't jump into reviews like that fast anyway.
Oh, in that case, then, yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Man, like, sometimes I don't even need an intro.
Yeah, Horror Acolytes here, so that's awesome. How's things going with you? I went to ask how you're doing, and then Board games happen.
Yeah, life is just, you know, something. I was just going to say, sometimes it takes like 5 extra minutes to your like travel time and people are just like, fuck it, I don't want to go for like hobby shops and stuff. That's all it takes.
Hey man, laziness rules over all.
I mean, I don't even know if it's necessarily laziness. I mean, it is to an extent, but like like during the weekday especially, like once you get home from work, you're probably just so demotivated to like really do anything. Like if there's any like loss of momentum in your activity, like if you're not out the door right away to go and do something, like if you have to wait at home for like 30 minutes to like go to a game night, like at a set time, even depending on, I guess, what time of the day it is. But yeah, like even an extra 5-10 minutes to your travel time can make a huge difference. So I get it. Like sometimes you just want to stay home at that point. So. That's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
I'm debating if I want to make a road trip this weekend or not. In Fredericksburg, Virginia, or Fredericksville, Virginia, one of those. There's an arcade there that is having a little video game music showcase. Ooh. Concert, and Super Strikers are the headliners.
Wait, Grant's coming out for that?
Yes.
Grant's from the West Coast, isn't he?
Yes.
Wow, that's an interesting trip. Yeah, Fredericksburg is a journey.
Flying in. I think he's on the East Coast right now. I know he was in Boston recently, but I think he isn't too far. I know the Arcadian is going to go, and he's driving from Texas.
Jesus.
Yeah, I feel like if I don't go, I'm kind of a bitch.
I wouldn't go that far, but to be fair, that just means it doesn't make you a bitch. It just makes him a beast. There's a difference. Yeah.
It's a 4.5-hour drive, and I'm really, really tempted to see if I could pull it off. Like,
but would you be doing it all in one day, both ways, or would you stay overnight and drive home the next day?
I'd probably stay somewhere overnight.
I mean, a 4.5-hour drive ain't that bad.
I don't want to drive 5 hours home after a concert.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you could do that. The longest I've done is I've driven 3 hours each way in the same day for something.
I don't want to mention how long I've sat in a car straight. If 7 is the long point.
My friend Kunal, we used to have parties, and he lived in Jersey, and he would drive 3.5 hours one way, hang out with us for an hour, and go home.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to hang out with you guys. So, yeah.
That's genius.
He should have hung out for like a fucking weekend. Fucking hell. 6-hour round trip thing for an hour hang up? That's not worth it, yo. He should have stayed for like at least a day or two.
He couldn't. Obligations and work and other shit. And
I'd have to be staying for at least the duration of one way of the trip.
That's fair.
I'd have to stay for the duration of the whole round trip, or else I wouldn't feel it was worth it. That's how I treated school. That's how I treat hangouts.
Longest trip I did was Fayetteville, Arkansas, back home, through Tennessee. Stopping in Maryville, I was supposed to stop at my dad's house, but he was asleep and the doors were locked, so we just drove back to Pennsylvania. It was like 20 hours straight.
There you go, you're getting closer. All right.
Well, not everyone travels cross-country, Aki.
Y'all really should, though. It's not fun, but it's an experience.
No,
it's actually pretty fucking miserable.
My back doesn't like the 3 hours to MagFest, so that's why I'm concerned about 4.5 to this place.
Fair.
Pernell, are you going to go to that? Did you know that was going on?
I did not, but there's no way I could fit that in this weekend, especially after just learning about it.
I figured that would be on your calendar.
No, I didn't even hear of it existing. Like, genuine question, when you think about it, where would I have heard about it at?
Facebook.
Yeah, but unless Grant shared it and it showed up in my feed, because both of those things factor in. That's true. I can't think of the other way I would have heard it.
Yeah,
so fair. I am friends with Grant, but I've never seen it posted on Facebook from him that he was touring the East Coast. I know he's at VGM company.
I don't think it was necessarily like a tour. I think it's just like a one-off kind of, hey, this is happening.
Fair.
But like, yeah, I mean, if I get a decent enough amount of notice for certain things like that, I would totally check it out. It might be worth a drive. Admittedly, to do that, though, I'd probably be combining it with something else. Like, okay, I'm going down there, I'm going to check this out. But while I'm in the area, I'm going to stay an extra day, maybe, and check out the Roanoke, not the Roanoke, but like the base, like that valley area around there. So there's some pretty cool things like the Lurie Caverns and stuff.
I know it's happening at an arcade, so I'm kind of curious how big the arcade is, like what kind of games they have.
Do you know the name of it?
God, where is it? I am looking. It's called Ultra Nova Con. Ultra Nova. Reclaim Arcade in Fredericksburg.
Reclaim Arcade?
Yeah. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm typing in the Google Maps. I'm curious.
Is that like a barcade?
I have no idea. I'd imagine.
For me, it would be 3 hours and 3 minutes. But at least it's on 95, and it is sooner than the halfway point between Alexandria and Richmond. So that's the plus.
Yeah, they have. See,
the funny fact is, if I'd known about that sooner, I could have combined that with a trip to visit my uncle in Richmond.
You travel a lot. I don't know how you do it.
Miracle sometimes. Like 2 weeks, like a weekend or two ago, I drove to DC and back in one day, and the concert I went to was 2.5 hours each way.
What'd you see?
It was a band called Heavenly. It's a band I've been listening to since like the early 90s, the early 2000s, and they've been around since the late 90s. But they stopped for years because of, you know, some internal strife with the band. Somebody passed on, like, you know, off themselves, I think it was. It wasn't good. But they recently decided that they wanted to come back because they realized people still like their music.
If you still have listeners and you still have a following, it's like that band Gravity Kills that I wanted to go see in concert the other year. Oh, I love that group so much.
Yeah, like when bands still have people coming out for them and they have the opportunity to make a return, I appreciate it. Like, one of my all-time favorite bands and bucket list bands, they came back in like 2016 or so. And I almost didn't go because it was my ex-girlfriend's band that we both liked together. And then she dumped me. And I was like, well, I don't know. You know how people get it. Like, they start distancing themselves from things they like. And I was like, no,
that's
fuck
why I don't like Nine Inch Nails.
Really?
Yep. That's my ex was obsessed with them and got me into them. And when we broke up, I was like, I can't enjoy this anymore.
That's a shame because their new Nine Inch Noise album is really good.
For me, that was Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks?
So I never watched the revival to Twin Peaks because of it.
I'm watching Twin Peaks right now.
For me, it was My Immortal by Evanescence.
Ooh.
I thought you still listen to Evanescence.
I still listen to the band. I said My Immortal, just that song in particular.
Oh, specific song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was a couple, like, our song type songs, but I was like, fuck that. I'm taking them back.
I don't think I've ever given up on a band over an ex. I gave up on a show, Andromeda, the space show. I used to like that and watch that with my ex, and when she broke up with me, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch this anymore.
No, that's fair.
Memories.
But she got me hardcore into MASH, so win-win.
MASH is good.
You mean that
show is so much better without the laugh track, by the way.
It seemed like the sort of show that shouldn't have had one in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. There was no audience. No reason to have laughter.
Like, oh, it'll bring some levity to the fact that everybody's so upset or that it's such a dire situation that they're in or whatever.
People need to know when to laugh.
And the place where you laugh is
basically any time, you know, the shithead doctor funny happens, yeah. does something stupid, which is like 90% of that fucking show. It's been a long time since I've watched MASH. I love MASH.
It's a good show. Good stuff.
Wish oh, for now, that... Or... Oh, what shows do I watch?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't, like, actively watch as many TV shows as I used to, but I any, would say, any like...
favorites that you had over the years?
For, like, mainstream stuff, like How I Met Your Mother, The Office, me, kind of the... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, definitely be up there. Probably, like, my three favorite ones. For like comedies, at least those are ones that like I can rewatch like over and over again.
I always feel sad when people were telling me they don't like Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh man, I understand it's crude humor. It's not for everybody, but like I love it. It's great.
I do appreciate like I've heard people
say things like, "Well, I don't like the fact that I can't root for any of the characters." I'm like, "You're not supposed to. No one roots for
you." Yeah, like, I don't understand that mentality. Like, you don't have to, like, root for characters in the show all the time. And I think some people maybe need to have that in a show to feel, like, intrinsically, like, attached to it. Like, they're part of the show in a way. But, like, I don't need that to enjoy a series. Like, that's not why I watch television. But,
I can start.
Yeah. But, yeah, I also enjoy, like, other... series too, like Dark on Netflix is a really good one for anyone that hasn't seen that. I need to rewatch that at some point, but I can't think of anything else on my head, but yeah, there's definitely there's like a bunch of anime over the years, like Berserk, Full Metal Alchemist, Trigun.
Oh god, anime, the Jimmy Jam.
Yeah,
I'm like, you like Ray Zero. Did you watch that?
Re-Zero.
I always say Re-Zero.
I know.
Trash Rando, My Little Pony, hell yeah.
I know
of movie that with show. Smooze.
Yeah. So you know about it and you're like, I don't want to, or you just haven't had time to try it?
I guess I haven't had time to try it. I'm kind of like a huge anime snob nowadays, though. Like, there isn't really a lot of ones that interest me, I would say. Mm-hmm. When I got into it, like, I got into it, like, pretty hard back in the day. Like, anything I could watch, I pretty much just, as soon as I saw something new, I'd watch it for the most part.
Which is the correct response to have.
Yeah, and then, so I got, a pretty wide stretch of, like, genres and different types of shows that I watched, and, through that, there was a number that I enjoyed. There wasn't too many that I detested by any means, but like then over the years I just found that a lot of the shows just felt generic to me, like, you know, similar storylines, types of characters, and then now it's just like there's tons of shows that are like watchable, like the typical shonen style shows, but like none of them really just impact me as much as they did back in the day, so I'm not as excited about any of them anymore.
That is very fair.
I had that vibe. Like, I will say, I never became a snob per se, but with that said, I became less interested in seeking new things out because I feel like if I'm going to just watch whatever and like whatever, I'd rather stumble across something because it's been recommended to me by other people who are the actual snobs. Basically, give me the top of the top.
I mean,
to an extent, it's just because the way the premise. Slop.
Oh god!
Like I find stuff. I watch a lot of isekai, so I watch garbage the entire time. I am obsessed with that shit.
What?
Isekai.
Oh,
it's like my favorite
stuff too. But again, it's like I'm not so much into it that I like. I watch anything. Like, I tried that damn vending machine show because the premise seems so
seen that one yet.
Absurd. Didn't click. Didn't like it.
I've seen a lot of them that are like that one, though.
My friend tried to get me into Rise of the Shield Hero and then reincarnated as a slime, and I watched, I think, a season of each of those. And it was okay, but, like, I
Slime Dadakun.
Didn't you game? The... what was it? Slime is a girlfriend or whatever?
Hmm?
What?
I don't. I
I played the Slime Dedekun game, but that wasn't for review. I had to buy that myself.
No, what the hell? Sadly. Like, we literally just said the name of the game, and I already blanked on it. It's the Namco game that came out.
Reincarnated as a Slime.
Yeah, Reincarnated as a Slime. There we go.
Yeah.
I knew Slime was in there.
Yeah, I did play that, but that wasn't for us. I had to buy that myself. Matter of fact, on my free time when I'm not working on review games, I'll spend like an hour or so playing that game, trying to 100% it. I'm pretty close now.
Nice.
I think I started playing it over winter break, I think, because I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I've wanted to play this for a while, so I should actually, you know, fucking play it. I spend a little bit here, a little bit there. I've been slowly working through it, and I think I'm in chapter 4 or 5 of it, and there's, I think, 6 chapters, so I'm getting there, slowly but surely.
The one anime that actually...
Times, what's going on?
We have a brand new crew member joining us on the show this episode. She goes by the name of Bree Reiner. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
You sound familiar.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know about that, but okay.
It's weird.
So how was the wedding?
It was really good. It went pretty much exactly as I planned. Lots of awesome help from the mother-in-law and her friends, and the photographers were awesome, and everybody showed up. It was a lot of fun. I had my whole Sea of Thieves crew show up. We had a little bit of chaos around, played some board games while we were waiting for things. And
tell me more!
Whoa, I know, right?
wait. This was discussed previously. We need to know who won the Killer Instinct.
Oh, Injury totally won the Killer Instinct. But there was table pong, and I won on hard.
Wait, Killer Instinct, like Battle Royale, kind of like arcade thing?
The original arcade Killer Instinct. Yeah, Indri and I used to play a lot of Killer Instinct on Xbox while we were still long distance. And so we thought we would play the original game because they had it at the arcade where we were having our after party after the wedding.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, he totally kicked my ass. But no, there was this table pong. So it's like the original Pong game, and you have this big wheel that you spin around. I'll put up pictures later. And you spin the wheel to make the paddle go back and forth, and there's this little like cube that moves on the table. It's like air hockey almost, but it's Pong. And then they have an easy, medium, and hard. I did not do great on easy, but you put it on hard and I was suddenly a ninja.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
That's interesting.
No idea.
Is it just because it was faster and like was it too slow?
It was too slow originally, I think. Yeah, because I was like, you know, trying to do these subtle movements with the paddle on the wheel, and I was like, nope, I need to go fast.
It's like when I try to play something on medium or hard in Rock Band, and the slower track just throws me off, and the notes being closer.
Yep, same here. Rhythm games have that knack too. Like, you end up wanting to put on a harder difficulty with a higher speed scroll. And you know, people are like, why? That looks so hard. It's like, no, this is easy for me because my hands react in this way. And if you make me take my sweet time, I'm going to get, it's not going to click for me. Sometimes it's about the reaction speed.
There's only so fast I could go in those games, though. Like, people put Rock Band on like 4X speed. And I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. How do you?
I think Rock Band only did 2X. Pop and music, I do 600 BPM.
Modded versions. There's like RB3 Deluxe and Rock Band 4 modded, Yarg, Clone Hero, and people just find ways to like crank it up to ridiculous speeds.
Yeah. I got to play some cool pinball tables while I was there at the arcade, too. Attack from Mars was one of my favorites. That was my first time playing that one. Let's see. I played the Twilight Zone table. I'm going through my pictures. The new Pokemon Premium Edition was there. Had some fun with that one.
Ooh.
They did not have Avatar, and they bought Beetlejuice, but they didn't have it in until today. I asked them about that, so I'll have to go back and check that out. Let's see, Arabian Nights is one, Theater of Magic, Gophers, there was a Godzilla. Let's see. Oh, and then one of the members of my party, my aunt. Oh my gosh, Teek, stop. My aunt got a high score for the day on Elton John. So
hell yeah,
that was Elton John. It is a pinball machine, and it plays Elton John music, and it's very flashy and wonderful. And it's a newer machine, so it takes your picture with like giant Elton John glasses. Yeah,
that's cute.
So yeah, she got the high score for the day for the arcade. Let's see.
Ooh, my mom played some Lebowski table. Nice.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I played that as well.
If you would ask them for Beetlejuice three times, they would have been obligated to bring it in.
I know, right? I know. My mom, I got a picture of my mom with some Medieval Madness.
I appreciate that for the Big Lebowski picture you took. You got it where the ball and the flipper look like a dick.
They totally do. I didn't even notice that until right now.
Yeah.
I was about to say, was that intentional?
Nope, that was just timing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful timing.
Sweet timing.
I think Lloyd also got a high score on something. You'll have to ask him next time we see him what game it was, because I've totally forgotten. But I was pretty proud of my peeps getting some high scores in the arcade. played some Simpsons for a while. That was super fun. Played a game. This is not pinball. This is an arcade game called like Pig Out. Dine like a swine. Pig out.
What is that?
So you're a pig and you run around trying to grab as much food as you can. It's multi-layered platforms with like ladders and staircases. And some of the things you can eat give you like power-ups, and you can shoot at the wolves trying to eat you or the police trying to catch you because you're clearly a brigand pig, I guess. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining actually. I had never seen it before or heard of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, me neither. That's that is a brand new one to me.
Yeah, played some OG Space Invaders.
Hey, hamster, you want some weird shit?
Right?
Get in touch with Leland Corporation. Came out in 1990.
Yep, pig out. Yep.
Looks.
But yeah, we had a great dinner and everything was really pretty. The weather was great. Thankfully no one told me the weather ahead of time because I'm like superstitious about that. I swear every time someone's like, oh, it might rain on Saturday, and I'm like, I've got a big event planned. That's when tornadoes happen, and I'm not even exaggerating. So I just plan for the worst and hope that it's better.
Yeah, yay!
It was a fun weekend full of friends and games and yeah.
I know, and you're married now.
Holy shit, I'm married.
You are fucking married.
I keep saying, holy shit, I'm married. But yeah, we had to turn in the official paperwork on Monday so we actually have the marriage certificate now. I got to go change my name everywhere with the U.S. government and get a new passport and all that fun stuff.
Oh, we've already changed it on the show. Dear.
Yeah, I changed it on social media like right away. So
we're now you're Facebook official? Hell yeah.
I am, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I went from single to married, Mrs. Reiner, yes.
Thanks for moving fast.
Yep.
Eloped overnight. It was a Vegas style wedding.
Yep.
Oh man. So anything anyone else want to chat about from the weekend? Or should we jump into the handful of reviews we got?
I'm cool with review time.
I'm gonna bounce and let y'all get into those reviews, but good to chat. New face. Same face. I don't know. New name.
Just have a good one.
Same
back channel.
Please. Yep. All right. I'll see y'all Thursday.
See ya.
Later. Congratulations again. Well.
One thing before I go.
Episode, guys.
Purnell, the World of Horror game got a multiplayer update.
Oh. That might make me pull the trigger, because I'm like, I don't need to buy a single player World of Horror when the video game is single player. And when I was reading more about it after the episode, I was like, this is pretty much the game.
Yeah. I like the visual setup for it in the board game, but also I didn't want to buy a single player board game. But at the same time, too, I don't know how the game's going to be balanced for this update.
I need to read more about it. Like, what is the multiplayer update? Like, for example, Slay the Spire's multiplayer board game element was fantastic.
I don't know exactly how the base game plays, but it looks like in this update you get like a side character, like a companion essentially, that's attached to the main character, and then the second player gets to act as that character, and then they get perform minor actions throughout the course of the game. It also collects some items as well, so like they're like a minor secondary character, I guess, which sounded, you know, okay to like some level of interactivity for the game, but like it's more like just like a side thing still, so I it's not like a true secondary player, I guess, but you know, they're doing something, I guess, at least.
Well, the part is, I mean, assume I understood this correctly, like you can buy it, like it's not, I guess when you buy it on the website, it's still considered a pre-order, is not rating as shit, which means it's still going to have to get added and then produced, right? Is what's going on here?
I think so. I haven't looked too much into like the production of it yet, because I was on the fence about buying it myself. Yeah, I still might not get it, because it's mostly single player, in my opinion, still. The secondary, or the new multiplayer update, is interesting, but I don't know if it's enough to sell me on it. But anyway.
Yeah. And that's the challenging part, because there's a lot of great games out there that unfortunately don't have this theming, but are of a similar adventure-y vibe, and they're fantastic and built for multiplayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the game I'm considering getting now, whose name I keep forgetting, but it was at the store on Sunday, and it was based, the guy described it as like, it's Gloomhaven with more of a Final Fantasy fantasy type vibe to it. And I was like, hmm, that sounds like an interesting ploy to me to get a sale.
I still gotta like play Gloomhaven, but it looks really good.
I did a review of the digital version of it for this show, and I thought it was fantastic. The physical I've yet to get to play as well, though I've had friends who played through Gloom and Frosthaven together. Lucky bastards. They didn't want to call me up, but yeah, I actually would like to try more of that. So
that's fair. Cool. Anyways, I should probably you get on the show. Joe's probably wants to finish sometime.
I am making horrible decisions over here. I'm trying to decide on like a good episode title, and I was like, oh, The New Girl. And I was like, oh, what kind of picture could I use? Oh, there was that TV show, The New Girl. And then I found a cast photo of like six people. And I have a lot of faces I could use.
Oh god.
Yeah.
You could also do World of SML Horror.
No. We're putting our faces on the cast of New Girl. This is happening.
Today.
Indeed. Horror, any final words?
Oh, you're not doing any reviews tonight, buddy?
No. Joe was kind of like talking to himself for a minute, and I was just going to come on and
shout. Yeah, Aki disconnected. Limbo. I'm just like, hello.
Hello, people.
Hello. Help me.
So cold in Discord.
Oh, but yeah, no, I don't think I have any final words, but nighty-night.
All right, take it easy, man. We'll catch you next time. All right, reviews. Let's dive into these. First game to talk about is Dosa Divas, developed and published by Outer Loop Games. It released April 14th on Series X and S and Xbox, PC, Switch 2, PS5, and PC. $19.99. Outer Loop Games delivers Dosa Divas, a spicy narrative turn-based RPG. After years apart, sisters Samara and Amani journey with their ancient spirit mech on a mission to defeat a rotten fast food empire and reconnect communities with their traditions, platform through vibrant villages, battle corporate goons, reconcile with loved ones, and eat one last meal together before saying goodbye. Aki, what is Dosa Divas?
Okay, in this you play as two sisters, as already dictated, and one of them has been staying in their home area forever, it seems, and the other one ran away. They originally were working together with their third sister to run a restaurant that their parents gave them when they retired, I guess. One of them wasn't really the cooking type, so she decided to do the business stuff, and the other two were the cooks. And, well, some accidents happened, and the older sister of the two that was doing the cooking ran off, and now she's come back home, and everything has changed, because, turns out the business sister really, really knows business really, really well, and also is kind of a terrible fucking person. So yay for that, I guess. And she's basically gotten rid of all home cooking and has instead created her own little, like, food paste that everyone now has to eat because she's bought up all the land and is forcing everybody into basically slave labor to work for her corporation so she can make more of this food paste garbage. And now the two of you are basically going across the land from city to city, going back to your parents' place for a home-cooked meal, and more or less trying to liberate all of these places from that sister's control, and taking down her monopoly of this land that she now owns. And yeah, it's fun. Every city you go to, you basically have missions that you have to do, which immediately propel you to the next area, until you can go back and do more stuff in them. But whilst you're doing this, you're also able to go and collect resources that, over a short period of time, like just a couple minutes, will regrow themselves. So you can use that to go into a cooking minigame. And the different things that you can cook, you can feed to the various people in all these towns to increase how much that town likes you, which just get you small things like, you know, new paint jobs and stuff like that, and as well as an achievement for each town eventually. You can also use these meals to basically buff yourself up in the combat. Sometimes it's like it only heals you, sometimes it'll give you a buff to your defense or offense for a handful of turns, so on and so forth, and it's all based on what food items you mix together in the recipe, because the recipes aren't like, oh, you need beef, lettuce, tomato for this. No, it's you need a poultry for this, you need a savory thing, a sweet thing, and a spicy thing. So you might have, you know, only one poultry item, but you might have like five different spicy items that you can make, choose which one you want to mix in there. Each one does a different thing, so the end product will be slightly different based on that kind of stuff. And in that, there's a whole bunch of little mini-games for actually doing the cooking, and they seem to be kind of randomized. Sometimes it's a little chopping game where something goes across and you have to chop within that little period of colored line that shows up. Another one is it goes around a circle and you have to push it when it hits, again, inside these different colored sections of it. There's some where you have to keep something as close to the middle of the screen as you can as it tries to move the mouse around, basically. Think back to some of the old hacking minigames in Watch Dogs, for instance. And it's just stuff like that. And then the last little bit of it is the combat, which each area has its own combatant people. There is a lot of overlap because they're all workers for the business sister. So it ends up being a lot of very similar styled individuals. And basically you get your whole line of people, which is both the sisters as well as this big car transformer looking thing called Goddess. You basically get to attack with each one of the three of them, and then the enemies attack, and it just switches back and forth real nice. Like, you have a whole bunch of different difficulties you can choose for the game, and you can choose the easiest, most simplistic one. Yay! You can also set up a whole bunch of different accessibility options in the game to make it a lot easier for you if you have problems, because in this game there is the push A at the right time and you take less damage than you would otherwise, and if you hit an enemy and push A at the right time when you do your attack, you can attack twice. You can automate that stuff. It isn't guaranteed to do it every time, but it does it a majority of the time. That way, if you're really bad at it, you can still do better in the combat, both in defense and offense, which is nice. So yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do with this, which is nice. It is very reminiscent of Thirsty Suitors, which is the last game that they made, which was also a fantastic game. So yeah, you end up by going through the various missions and raising your popularity with each individual town, you unlock different wraps for Goddess to change the visual appearance of the vehicle thing. And you can set up each body part separately if you want as well, which is kind of nice. And yeah, I level up pretty quickly in this. You end up getting scrap that you can trade with for different items to cook with and stuff like that, because this is very much a let's cook things video game, and let's look at the food that you made and let your mouth water and make you really hungry in real life type thing, just like Thirsty Suitors was. Every time I see people making food in video games, I want to eat food, man. It ain't fair. It just ain't fair. And, any questions? Because I don't want to give out too much of the story, and the gameplay mechanics are surprisingly simple, but they're really fun.
What did you think of the art style in this one? Because it has a really cool visual style to it.
Oh, I love this art style. That's one of the things that reminded me of their prior game. This and Thirsty Suitors have a very similar visual style, and they're very different from any other game I've ever played. This visual style is very different. The coloration they use, the line work they do, it's just very different, and I really, really like it. It is something that is, I hate that I'm about to use this word, but it is unique.
She said that word, unique!
Yep, it's been over a year since I last used it, and makes me sad that I've used it, but, you know, it's true. It is. This is this studio does this, and no one else does it, and I fully applaud them for that, because they've made, I think, one or two other games, and the visual style isn't this, and I ended up, I looked at them like, I'm not as interested as I was with these two. Stick with this visual style. It separates you from everyone else, and it's so good.
All right, well, let's talk price on this thing. It clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts on Dosa Divas?
Oh, this is an easy buy it. This is extremely easy buy it. That is super cheap. This is super fun. Go hog wild. This game will, I think, on a quick end, if you're really running through it, I think you said it was a 10-hour game. If you're slower like I am, it's a lot longer of a game than that, because I've probably spent more than 10 hours in it just today, because I'm currently playing it even. So, yeah, I definitely easy buy it. Easy.
Very good. Moving on is Kingdom's Return, time-eating fruit and the ancient monster, developed and published by IntiCreates, released April 23rd on the Switch. Actually, it's on all platforms. Xbox, is this... Why do I only have Switch for this? Series X and S, Switch, PS5, $14.99, in a world of swords, magic, and fairies, you're a lone adventurer who suddenly becomes tasked to revive the ruined kingdom of Almacia, along with the fairy of time, Kronos. Through adventure, action, and revival strategy, restore the kingdom to its former glory. Purnell, this one looks really different. I didn't want to use the word because Aki will cry, but this one looks really different. Tell us about it.
I feel like it had the potential to be different, but I wouldn't say it stuck the different landing in that regard. At least not different enough. So the way this game works is that, like you said, the kingdom has been destroyed, or it's been, I'm going with it, it's been destroyed. And your adventurer, a character of which you choose at the beginning of the game from four distinct classes, stumbles across this kingdom. And you are tasked by the king of the land to assist Kronos to rebuild it. The way this is done is by a combination of town sim, a very light town sim, and some side-scrolling action-adventure platforming gameplay. So the way it works at the start is that you'll be given the town, dilapidated castles and dilapidated houses. Is at this point the game gives you an early tutorial on the idea of like reconstructing the town by going in and dismantling these dilapidated buildings and dilapidated streets and then building your castle. The castle which you can choose from a series of different types. Now, the thing that makes these castle types different is a range of a field of influence, of which I'll discuss later on in the review. Now, you need resources to construct various buildings, such as a weapon shop.
Hold on a second. We are getting raided. Clay Carrington coming in with 9 raiders. Welcome in, everybody. Thank you, Carrington, for the raid. Somebody please give him a shout out in chat. We are chatting right now about the game Kingdom's Return, time-eating fruit, and the ancient monster, which is an incredible game title. The newest one from IntiCreates. Purnell is telling us about this one. Continue on, good sir.
So, I mentioned building the castle and the influence, yada, yada, yada. But in order to build buildings to accompany the castle, you need resources and materials to provide to Kronos, the time fairy, to construct these things. So, the way you go about getting that is you go to accept mission from a menu screen that essentially takes you to an inn, which is funny because at this time, the inn doesn't really exist yet, or the shop or whatever doesn't exist yet, but you're still being asked to take on missions. So you choose one, and then you set out. Setting out puts you on a top-down map for the region that your mission location exists in. And you'll go from single screen to single screen, looking for the location that the actual adventure takes place in. For example, you might find yourself on some plains, and the thing you want to engage in is the, you know, the fairy, I'm making up a title here, the fairy forest, which is a location that exists on the plains. So you'll go from screen to screen looking for this location. Now, as you're moving, you'll come across two potential things in addition to this, or three things. You'll come across little monsters that are floating around, look like ghosts. And if you stumble into them, or one of them stumbles into you, you'll go into a short-term battle screen. Think The Legend of Zelda 2, Link's Adventure. Or if you don't remember what the hell that is, maybe Phonotopia Awakening. And if you don't know what that is, well, a short side-scrolling segment where monsters will appear, and you can attack them using, you know, action-adventure combat. And if you manage to defeat all the enemies in the screen, you'll get experience points and money. If you feel as though you can't handle the onslaught, which you will be able to, you can always walk off the screen and avoid it. Combat when you engage in, I'll talk about that in a bit, actually. Because the other thing I wanted to mention is the other two things you can find on the map are treasure chests, which will give you items that can be used from a quick menu scroll to do things like increase your attack power, defense power, heal you, etc. And the last thing you might be able to find, in addition to the actual location you're going to, are nameless dungeons. and these nameless dungeons work kind of like the actual location you can go to, where you'll go from like a, you'll go through a series of floors, and each of those floors can have about three or so segments. So think 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, or whatever. And when you go in, you need to fight monsters using the same abilities and attacks and such that you would use on the overworld map battles. And of those attacks, it's generally something along like an attack, a jump, and more attack abilities that you can earn through experience points or CP points that you gain from leveling up your character and applying them to the class circle, which is essentially a short, a small, you know, non-complicated skill tree. When you defeat all the enemies in a level, so again, 1-1 or 1-2 or whatever, the game will give you a victory indication. You're then allowed to clear the rest of the screen should you find things you want to get, like treasure chests or things that you can break, and then you can choose whether you want to proceed on that floor or proceed downward to a lower floor, if lower floor exists. My understanding is that the lower you go faster, the less experience you're able to acquire and the potential to miss out on items and treasure chests that are on the floors that you decide to skip through. And the other, the benefit is getting through it faster. So if you're content with just getting to the bottom and knocking out the mission, go wild. At a nameless dungeon, eventually you'll get to the end. You might get a bunch of treasure chests that can be used to boost your character up, like I mentioned earlier. And then afterwards, you'll get kicked back out to the world map. However, the normal dungeons, i.e. like the locations that missions take place on, if you get to the bottom, you'll usually find yourself tasked with fighting a boss. Bosses are a fair bit more of a complicated affair than the typical mobs you fight on levels. In fact, I'd say the bosses are the most interesting part of the game as far as combat goes, because they give you some nice patterns to remember and exploit. And then when you beat the boss, if it's mission related, you'll get your reward. Otherwise, you'll get experience points and money and get kicked back to the world map to keep on searching. Once you complete a mission, regardless of how it gets done, though, wherever the mission is, whether it's defeating guys on the world map or killing a certain number of a type of monster or beating a boss or any number of things, you will get rewarded in the form of whatever the actual mission reward was, experience points of money, some items, and you'll also get money for all the items you found but did not use during your adventure. So just because you find a potion doesn't necessarily mean you should use it, because you'll get paid for that. And now that you're back in town, you can spend those resources and money to purchase buildings. Buildings generate, not resources, they generate stat points for your character. And that's all that they do. You don't build a weapon shop and then go shop at the weapon shop to get equipment to equip your character or anything like that. It's literally just stat points based on the type of building and the level the building is, as you can upgrade it to be better, which gives you higher stat boosts. And if it's in the field of influence of your castle, you'll get additional points for that building. And after you've done that, you will proceed with accepting another mission and then going wash, rinse, repeat. That is pretty much the game. However, at any point in time and in the town, you can switch between the different characters that I mentioned earlier in the review. They all have their different play styles of sense. Nothing that really drastically changes the game, mind you, but it still plays differently and might give you some variety. They have their own skill trees. They have their own experience points. So if you level up one guy to level 8 and then switch to the alchemist, they start at level 1 and you got to build up from there again. So that adds on a bit of padding for the game, because you got to build up all the different characters and as you see fit. But fortunately, missions are repeatable. The game is interesting in that there's nothing particularly special about it, and I'm typically a guy that loves and creates games, but there's nothing particularly special about this game, so I can't go out of my way and go, wow, this game is phenomenal or spectacular. But I also found it to the point where I was enjoying taking missions, doing a run, coming back, take a mission, do a run, get some skill point investment in this character, do it again, which means the game itself was still enjoyable to me. But it's also not the type of game you're going to go, you know, go out of your way to go pick it up or anything. But I feel as though if you're the type of person who likes NT Creates, not necessarily the Mega Man-esque games or whatever, but just the company itself and the stuff they make, I don't think you can really go wrong here. The game is still enjoyable to play. Just don't come here expecting something revolutionary or like you said earlier, you was like, this sounds like a really unique thing. And I'm like, if you come in with that high level of expectation for this game, you're going to come away disappointed. But I think if you come in just looking to do a little bit of hack and slash and a little bit of leveling up and just scrolling between different characters and just, you know, watch and repeat, getting that quick fix every couple of hours or so, I think you'll have a fun time with this game.
Very good. Let's talk price on this thing. It clocks in. Normal price is $14.99. If you are planning to pick this up on your Switch or Switch 2, it is $13.49 on the Switch on sale for the next month, and it has a free upgrade pack to the Switch 2, which is $14.99. So you could save $1.50 for the next month and get it on Switch and Switch 2.
Switch between them.
Even. Indeed. So for $15, what do you think of this one?
I will give this one a try. Something that can get some, you can get some enjoyment out of it, but you don't have to kick it high up on your list before you do so. But I think you'll have fun when you finally make time for it.
Gotcha. There is also a DLC pack, $5, that adds 4 character skins from Azure Striker Gunvolt. Does that sound interesting or eh?
I think you know the answer to that from me. Yeah, if it was free, baby.
Well, if you buy it on Steam, it is included for the $14.99. So there's a reason to grab it on Steam. And then there's going to be Galgun crossover skins as well.
Okay, we'll get those free skins, but I wouldn't drop a dime on them.
There you go. All right, let's move on. Spy Drops, developed by Rainy Night Creations, published by Rainy Frog. It released April 27th, Series X and S and PS5 for $14.99. Experience retro 3D stealth action with modern effects, randomly generated missions, modern equipment, and local multiplayer. As a member of the counter-terrorist Spy Drops team, you are tasked with neutralizing a threat that could plunge the world into digital darkness while you unknowingly get tangled in a deeper conspiracy. Aki, tell us about Spy Drops.
Okay. So in this, you play as a chesty blonde who is being Snake, basically, from Metal Gear Solid. And you're going around helping your organization, whatever it is, I don't know, by sneaking into this facility and doing what needs to be done. Usually it involves getting intel. Sometimes it's for taking pictures of things. Other times it's for using only a drone, basically, to run through and find a document, which is kind of interesting. The story is not super important, actually. All you really need to know is you're a new agent and you're being trusted with a hard mission, and you're going against somebody who used to work for the company and defected to the bad guy side, and you're trying to take him down. That's really all that matters. If you understand that, and you do now because I just told you, that's it. That's all you need to know. Nothing else is important, because most of the missions you're going on are, here's a list of like 12 or so missions. Pick whatever one you want to play. Eventually, you'll get enough intel and we'll continue the story a little bit. And like the first time I had to pick up intel, I think I had to pick up 60 pieces of intel. The next one, I think, was like 160, I think, or something like that. So it takes a while to get through story bits. So the story ends up being not as important as the actual gameplay. So for the gameplay, you're going into the facility. It's basically the same facility. It's just rearranged and expanded as you go through harder and harder missions. And they're starred from 1 star to 5 stars. And basically, you get access to whatever items you find within the facility, and there are a fuck ton of them just lying around all over the place. You can also set up stuff to go into the mission with at the start of each mission, and you basically have to buy it, because the concept is that when you escape, the little device that you escape in can only handle so much weight, so you have to abandon all your gear. So you end up having to buy everything at the beginning of every mission. So typically you're going in with maybe a pistol, if you're smart, and some ammo. And if you're good, that's all you need, and that's all I need. So you're going around...
That's all I need. Shut up. He's bragging. Bragging.
I mean, that's what happens when you play a lot of Splinter Cell, folks. It's just, it is what it is. So for enemies, you have two different types. You have standard people, soldiers, and then you also have robots. So robots, you can either punch them until they're destroyed, shoot them once and they explode, blow them up, or you can sneak up behind them, and if you're close enough, but not too close, because the game's kind of finicky about that, annoyingly sometimes, and hold B for like a second and a half, maybe, it'll deactivate it, which behaves the exact same as if you shot it, punched it, or blew it the hell up. It just explodes. But if you do it that way, it doesn't alert anyone around it, and that's the important thing. For enemies, there's a couple of ways of dealing with them. You can either sneak up behind them and grab them and then knock them out or kill them, however you see fit. And if you knock them out, you can always pick them up and kill them later, which is fun. You can shoot them with any of the multitude of weapons. None of them have silencers, so not the suggestion I would choose. There's also some special abilities that you have in order to get intel. It's some sort of brain connection thing. They don't really explain it, but basically you get within like 3 meters of an enemy and you push in on the left left stick, that's the word, and it brings up, I forget the names of things, leave me be, and it brings up a little menu, and in this menu you have to stay within 3 meters of this enemy, so you have to follow them around when they're walking, but it, as you can continue the game, it unlocks more options, but the first one that you get is getting intel from them, and it basically sucks stuff right out of their mind. And then another one later on you get is, like, you can knock them out, put them to sleep, which is really fun, because then you don't have to actually walk up and grab them or anything. And they stay asleep for a hell of a lot longer, which is vividness. But then after they're unconscious or dead, however you want to do it, that's up to you folks, you can pick them up and carry them, usually almost every room, not all of them, but almost every last one of them has a place where you can hide enemies' bodies. You can also hide in them, and they'll hide an infinite amount of enemy bodies. Yay! I personally love that, because I've played a lot of Hitman and stuff, and you can put two bodies in a place, and then it can't be used anymore by anybody, and that sucks. In this game, though, you can hide 15 bodies in there and then still jump into it. It don't matter. Doesn't matter. It's nice. But nice. You also have to deal with things like there are cameras that have guns on them. The only real reason to worry about that is you don't want to set off alarms in the mission, because there's bonuses you get for not setting off any alarms and bonuses you get for not killing enemies. Matter of fact, killing enemies will not only get rid of that bonus, but will also start taking away money for some reason. Because last time I checked, the only good enemy soldier is one that's been buried with a bullet in their head. Well, I mean, functionally, that is a factoid. So I don't know why it takes away money from you. Like, how dare you kill bad guys? Because I'm a good guy. But okay.
That'll learn you.
Exactly. So you really want to render them unconscious as often as you can. You get a whole bunch of items that you find. Sometimes it's gas masks. You'll find a few different types of drones. I've not found, like, there's a standard drone which you can fly into something, they'll pick it up, and then you can drop it off somewhere else, usually near you. There's also an explosive one, and I've not really ever found a purpose for it, because it doesn't seem to kill anyone or anything, so I don't really get why it exists. It's useless. But then you find stuff like sponges, which you wear over your shoes, and then it allows you to run around without making sounds, because video game logic, and I love it. My favorite item right there. Then you can find various guns. If you do kill enemies, you can pick up their guns. They have semi-auto weapons, and if you pick up and drop their bodies a few times after they're dead, they'll eventually drop their uniform that you can put on. I also don't see a great purpose for this, because I've always found that enemies seem to be able to tell that I'm not one of them, even though I'm wearing one of their uniforms. So, not super useful. And then you get things like you can eventually start doing R&D and create some of these items yourself, so you can buy them and take them into the mission instead of having to just try and find them within the mission, which is nice. There's also some items that you can only get through R&D. Like, there's an item that allows you to basically put up a little mirror around lasers so that it bounces it back and you can ignore them from that point forward. I've found it's just as easy to shoot them or blow them up with C4, because you can find a fuck ton of C4 in every level. So I just blow it to hell, and then I never have to worry about it again. Why hack things when you can blow them to smithereens, you know? and yeah.
I appreciate that this game doesn't hide the fact that it is heavily inspired by Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, so extremely. It is fantastic.
Like, straight to the visuals and everything. This is a straight up PS1 looking game.
Yes, it is, and it is fantastic. There is also a sound meter and a visualization meter that you can see, and they just go from a very small thing to flicking up. They're just a line. And as long as you're in shadows, and you definitely know when you're in shadows, because there's either a shadow there or there isn't, because it is PS1 style graphics, which is nice. And as you're moving, depending on the speed that you move, you don't have like a run button or anything. It's just how far you push the left stick is how quickly you move, and you can tell how loud you're being. You can also crawl on the ground and stare at her butt the whole time if you want, but you're super slow, so I wouldn't do that. And yeah, also at the very beginning of every stage, where you're actually running in and not using the drone, you have to squeeze in through the exact same hole. And it focuses in directly on her boobs while you're doing that, and it is so funny. I absolutely love that. And yeah, you don't really have boss fights in this, unlike in Metal Gear. Instead, this is more about sneaky, shoot them in the head type stuff.
Sneaky pew-pews.
Exactly. If you're getting into combat in this game, you've fucked up. Fucked up a lot. Especially at the beginning.
Speaking of fucking up, let's ask the major question. Is $15 a fuck up on this, or is this something that people should jump into at $15?
If you like Metal Gear Solid, totally buy this. This is fantastic. This will give you that old school, you know, Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid, early Metal Gear Solid game vibes. 100% totally worth it. If you don't like those games, I don't think this is really going to change your mind, because there's only a handful of style of missions. And if you don't like that kind of stuff, it's going to get boring very quickly for you, especially since you're not already like hyped for it. So this is definitely a fan for people specifically into Metal Gear and stealth games. Everyone else, probably not for you.
And if you're not into retro visuals, you might not enjoy this one either. You gotta be into the PS1 look.
I think if they like Metal Gear and stealth games, they can get the fuck over it. We don't have enough of those that come out. They'll get over it. They need it.
Hey, August, we get some more Metal Gear, so... let's move on. Next up is Party Club, developed and published by Lucid 11 Interactive. It released April 24th as Xbox Play Anywhere and Switch for $4.99. Seat customers, serve drinks, manage chaos with up to four players, keep the peace by considering customer types while seating them, survive disasters, handle quirky customers, and design the perfect venue to keep the party going. Purnell, tell us about your time with Party Club.
And you'll have to tell me about this Metal Gear thing that you heard earlier say, because that's news to me. But regarding Party Club, so in short, before going on the game proper, it's another in the ilk of games like Plate Up and Overcooked, stuff like that. So if you're familiar with those kind of the games, you probably already know if you're interested in this, if you're looking for more of that vibe. But for those who don't know anything like that, or even if you still just want to know what this game plays like, well, you are, despite the game being called Party Club, you're actually seemingly running a restaurant. And
yeah, I was not expecting this kind of gameplay out of this kind of game title, and I was completely thrown off when I fired up the game to play it. I was like, oh, I was expecting a party game, not Overcooked, but it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, definitely is how I felt about it. I was like, what the hell is this? This isn't what I signed up for. It was very surprising to come across. But the way this game works is you are running a restaurant, and when you go into the building, being the level select screen for that stage, like say stage one is a building, you'll go in, you'll get access to a series of levels within there, like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. Can my last review also have that statement? Find out. But when you choose one of these, this determines, you know, based like the what level layout you're going to get and such. And then you have to choose what starting kit and difficulty you want to play on. Difficulty usually means you might have a series of missions you need to fulfill to get a good score in the level, in addition to fulfilling the normal condition of running a successful restaurant. And then the starting kit might be different items that you can use to initially furnish your restaurant. But once you've chosen all those things, you'll get plopped into the level, and you'll get a minute or so to kind of give an initial, you know, decor layout of the restaurant. This implies putting down tables and chairs, a mop bucket, a hammer, a mop, a toilet in the form of a litter box, juicing machines, because you're also not really running a restaurant so much as a juice bar, and a couple other different things. But either way, when you're done constructing your restaurant or your juice bar layout, you then take the hammer and run up to ring the gong that is at the entrance of the restaurant or juice bar, damn it, to start the actual day. At this point, animals will come and line up outside the juice bar with the intent of being sat at a table and then served. Different types of animal customers have different types of quirks and things that are required to satisfy them. For example, docile creatures like bunnies will sit at a table with other bunnies or by themselves or whatever. They're pretty easy to manage. Whereas something like a bull, an aggressive animal, will only want to sit with other bulls or other aggressive animals. And if you sit it with a bunny rabbit, it may snap out and send the rabbit screaming out of the restaurant. And then there's other types of specialty creatures, for example, like a skunk who just stinks, which means you can't sit him with anybody. He's got to be sitting at a table by himself and then serve. But he does pay you real money, or better money than the others, if you take care of him.
And you got to pay attention to which way he's facing, too.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I just put him in. I guess I got lucky every time I served him.
The stink cloud shoots out away from him. So if you have a customer walk behind him, they'll get knocked out.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
I got lucky then, because unbeknownst to me with that rule, I put him in the lower right corner of my restaurant when I had him in there. So I never had to walk anyone by him.
Nice.
But once they're seated, which for the record, there is a timer. If you don't seat them soon enough, they'll walk away. And once you pick them up to walk them into the restaurant, another timer appears. And if you don't seat them in time, they also get angry and walk away. Or sometimes they'll start a fist fight with you. But either way, if you're able to sit them at the table, they will then start requesting a drink. At which point you then need to go get a cup, use the proper machine to provide their drink, or sometimes combination of machines to provide them with their drink. And then you walk it over and serve it to them. The longer it takes you to serve them the drink they want, the less money they will pay you for receiving the drink. If only the real restaurant industry worked this way. Thank God it doesn't, because it would be a disaster if it did. But basically, you end up doing this. Sometimes they might want more than one drink. Sometimes they'll be satisfied with the one and they will walk out. And then there's the other things that might occur, such as the animal needing to go to the bathroom, at which point he'll go stumbling to the toilet, sit in the litter box, leave a steaming pile of crap, and then either sit back down at the restaurant table or walk out. Other times they might get violently ill and just throw up on the floor, at which point you then need to mop it up. Because if another animal ends up spending too much time near that, they will turn, get sick, and they'll be unhappy about being in your restaurant.
You can slip in it, too. Yay!
Ooh. Well, it ain't happened to me. I was very cautious around that mess, because like I would if I were physically there, I didn't want to have my animals stinking and smelling that crap, because that stuff's contagious. But ultimately, at a certain point, you'll receive a buzzer for last call, and the animals that you have seated can still be served, but everybody else, get the hell out. And then the clock will expire, and you will get another minute and 30 or a minute and 40 seconds after being scored for that day for the number of customers you served and all, and informed of your status or progress towards trophy score levels. I think the 1, 2, 3 star requirement in other games like this. And then you will be tasked with having another minute, 30 or 40 seconds or whatever to do additional upgrades to the restaurant. You can take money, juice bar. You can take the money you earned and use it to purchase new furniture, new machines, or new items that can be used to kind of help propel you through the restaurant. Juice bar. One day I would get that locked in. for example, you might be able to spend money to get some roller skates, which will allow you to blast around the juice bar to serving people faster. That was primarily the item I tended to use or whatever. But then after you choose to, if you're able to finish up setting up the juice bar before the clock runs out, you can still ring the gong early and get additional time to serve the customers as they come walking in, which means it's generally in your best interest to resolve matters as quickly as possible for that sweet, sweet additional time. At the end of a full set of long rounds, the level's over, and you're scored based on your performance throughout the entirety of the day. How do I feel about this game? It's fun. It doesn't, again, like I kind of said about the last review, this one doesn't do anything particularly special in the genre, but it is fun with what it does for this game. And I guess now I think about it, mechanically, not so much, but as far as gameplay wise or, you know, theme wise, it's kind of funny how they add a little bit of that vulgar humor in the form of like the animals puking on the floor and crapping in sandboxes and stuff like that. And also the fact that sometimes you have to fist fight the animals instead of just them just leaving disgruntled. They actually want to start a fight with you. You got to beat them up. So stuff like that, I guess, now that you mentioned, that is something that they does that's different. So I'll give it that. The gameplay is fun. I do feel as though it would likely serve itself to play better or more enjoyably in a multiplayer scenario. But single player does its job too. I don't think
which
it's a dud
is where
single
I gotta
player.
Jump in. Because I tried playing online and we could not get the game to work. It doesn't have matchmaking. It doesn't have random join games. You have to join via an invite code or a console invite. And we tried both ways. Neither would connect. We tried multiple servers because they have like US, US West, or US East, whatever. European, Asian. We could not get a game to connect. There were three of us trying. None of us could connect to each other. So I don't know if the online is borked or if it's an Xbox thing or what. But if you're going into this hoping to play online, you might want to wait for a bit.
Oh, yeah. And to be
big
fair,
energy.
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, I was able to enjoy myself playing a single player, but with this type of game, I don't think I would want to buy it for the sole purpose of single player.
Yeah.
Multiplayer is where it would shine best.
Yeah.
And that's generally what these kinds of games are built to do. So if that's not on the table, it would not get a favorable score.
On the table.
I just smacked the soda, so that's going to explode later. So I'm glad you made that comment, because that makes all the difference in regards to how I would personally score it. If the multiplayer is successful and available to you, either being couch co-op or them getting a functional online play established, I think this game would totally up your ante and up for lots of fun. Yeah, there's other games that play like it, but Overcooked's been around for ages, and Plate Up, I think, is Steam only. I can't recall seeing it on consoles at any point. It may have been, but I don't recall it. So there's still a niche for this game type to be experienced on a console if you want something that's more recent and modern. And I even mentioned the fact that you can unlock, you know, customizable unlockables for the characters, you know, outfits and the like. So if that's up your alley too, then bam, get those unlockables done.
Hey, Play Up is on Xbox.
Oh, there you go.
It's on sale right now, and it's on Game Pass. There you go.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm sorry, Party Club.
Well, the good thing Party Club has going for it is that it is very affordable. It is $4.99. Give us your verdict.
I'm going to still give it a try in that I still had fun playing it. It's not a, oh, God, get this thing now, but I think it's fun. It's got that brash humor, which some people love. I enjoy brash humor or crash humor. I'm sorry. So I give it a try.
I would go with fuck it. Why not? It's $5. It's fun. It works. The game itself is mechanically sound. The online needs to be figured out. But if you're playing local co-op, even single player, $5, it's enjoyable. Fuck it. $5.
I almost should have said that because it's been a while since I've declared a fuck it. Why not?
Yeah. Well, you have another chance because next up is Parking Garage Rally Circuit European Tour, developed and published by Wallaber Entertainment. This one is out April 27th on Steam for $4.99 as DLC for Parking Garage Rally. This DLC for Parking Garage Rally Circuit includes 8 brand new garages to race in, all from landmark locations across Western Europe, and a new original ska soundtrack by the Holophonics. Where is Carnage when we need him? Pernell, what's going on in this DLC, the European Tour?
Spoiler, I mean, you're not getting the fuck it, why not here? This is a bite, you moron. This is an easy recommendation on a bite. I just gave the ending away. But without going into too much, because the nature of the beast, it's more of what you love from this game if you play the original Parking Garage Simulator or Parking Garage Rally. It is a number of fun tracks, some of which do some pretty fun things with the idea of the game telling you you're always in a parking garage. They kind of take stretches like, what about a parking garage that's also attached to a cave? That sounds cool, right? So you're actually driving through a cave that also connects to a parking garage. I love that. I love when they do some goofy crap like that. Music is fantastic. Gameplay is still the same in regards to light, medium, and heavy circuits when you unlock them. But what is the actual gameplay for those who are like, what the hell is Parking Garage Rally Circuit? I'm going to get the title right one of these days, but it's like Parking Garage Simulator, Parking Garage Rally is fun. Either way, you are driving a car through a garage in a race format. Now, due to the nature of what this game entails, i.e. a parking garage with narrow passageways and corridors and the like, you're not actually racing physical cars on the circuit. Instead, you're actually driving against ghost cars. Ghost cars that represent either the bronze, silver, or gold time standard for that level, or a ghost of your previous best performance. So you can drive through them. There's no smashing and bumping into each other in this thing. As you're accelerating, you are able to, do the typical car-related stuff, left, right, blah, 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 brake, accelerate. But the other thing about this game is, similar to Mario Kart, there is a drifting structure in the game. And unlike Mario Kart, where that game generally gives you boosts when you drift, in this game, you need to boost in order to increase and maintain your top speed. So let's say, for example, your car is going about 55 miles an hour, and that's what it's capped at. If you pull off a boost, i.e. go into a drift, hold down the button, wait for the color sparks on your back of your tires to shift into, you let it go, boom, now your top speed is 70 miles an hour. So that feels like a big jump. And if you keep cycling those boosts, you get faster and faster to a certain point where you just straight up cap out on your speed. But by the time you get to that point, you're going pretty freaking fast. And if you don't maintain a decent array of boosting, your speed will drop back down to the original level that you started the game at. So there is a certain sweet spot to knowing when to drift boost, how long to drift boost, when to go into a drift boost hold, which is an advanced technique which the internet taught me. And just doing that over and over and over again to a fantastic soundtrack. And that might sound boring to you. You'd be incorrect, because it's actually a lot of fun to be shooting for best times and trying to get the perfect curves, the perfect turns, the perfect boost strings, all that good stuff. And then seeing your ghost beating you on the track and you telling yourself, I could beat that ghost. And then you outplay your previous time and all the other ghost cards that are on the track, and to the point where you feel like you're an absolute master. And then you go on the internet and learn that there's this one guy on there that's kicking the crap out of everybody. Ain't nobody topping him. But you can still try to, should you choose. But it's a lot of fun. It brings back solid memories of Sega Rally Championship, which I'm sure this is a genuine intended play on. But it does a great job of giving you that feeling back. And it's just as fun, if not more fun, to be perfectly honest with you. I love the levels in this game. I love the way they do them. And they came up with some pretty cool creative ideas for this DLC. Like a track where it's actually a fairly decently long lap circuit, and it changes paths every time you do a lap on the circuit. Levels where stalagmites will fall down and land on the track to kind of obscure you on subsequent laps, things like that. The game is a lot of fun. It is dirt freaking cheap, so I could genuinely give it a fuck it, why not, by virtue of the cost of it. But to be fair, I think this deserves better than that. I think this deserves a buy the crap out of this thing, because these guys are doing a genuinely good job with a passionate project, and I want to see these guys do more things with more racing games. I'm trying to think of a similarly ridiculous concept to parking garages, but I'm kind of at a loss right now. Like, I don't know, people like, I don't know, canoe racer or somewhere. It's people on a canoe, but they can somehow still canoe boost or like row boost. I don't know, something
kayak
stupid.
Kayak attack.
There it is. There it is. TM, patent pending. This,
there you go, I want Oliver, to see these guys do more. For you.
I want them to do more. This game is solid, fantastic in all the right ways. And you'd be remiss to not buy. Even if you've never played the game before, go buy the game and the DLC. Just do all of it. It's worth it.
Let's talk about that. The game is $10. The DLC is $5. It is on sale until the 4th for $4. There is also a PGRC World Tour bundle that includes the game and the DLC on Steam for $12.58. Price may vary depending on your whatever's. Steam's weird like that. $5 on the DLC. Verdict.
Buy all of it. Get all of it. Get it.
Works for me.
And good music. Jesus. Just buy it.
Yeah, where's Carnage? It has a ska soundtrack. And he's not here for that. So sad. You know what else is sad? We're at the last game for the night.
Ooh, I'm telling.
SML After Dark.
That's right. Lootline Season 2, developed and published by Candylight Studio. This one released back in December on Steam for $11.99. Lootline Season 2 is a pirate-themed VN adventure that continues a journey from Season 1 through a vibrant fantasy world. This isn't just a treasure hunt. You'll explore stunning landscapes, encounter a diverse crew of characters, and get to experience a world filled with unique kinks and niches. You did that one to yourself, Aki. What is this game?
Other than a bad use of the U word, in this, you're playing as a young man who is of a race that is legendary and supposed to be mythical and extinct and doesn't really exist. But you do! So, woo! And you're continuing to try to find the loot line. Hey, they said the name of the game.
And that's so unique.
Oh, fuck you for that. I'm gonna have to mark two of them now.
I already got one. What the hell? Oh, I keep up with this shit.
Sure. And basically, you are continuing this from the prior game. This is a direct continuation from literally right where the first game left off. You're waking up and it is the second game now. So definitely will need the first one to play this one to understand what you're doing. But you're continuing with your crew, which is made up of humans, another race that looks exactly like humans, fairies, as well as a demon lady. So, yay, you got an eclectic crew. And you start off with, you collected a compass, a specialty blood compass, which is supposed to help you find the loot line, and now you're following it. Well, it turns out that it isn't actually apparently leading you to the loot line, because Dory can drive and says, instead, it's leading you to another one of these special compasses. Because, fuck you, you can't have anything easy. That's why, haha, eat a dick. So that's what this game ends up being. It turns out, when you get to this island and you're told basically what you're going to be doing for the rest of the game, it turns out there was four of these special compasses made. They were made from the blood of this super powerful magic family from years ago. And basically, there was one made for the daughter, and it was seeking out the brothers. The brothers seeked out the mothers, and the mothers seeked out the father. And once you had all four of them, then it would lead you to something. They weren't sure if it was supposed to be the loot line, if it was supposed to bring you to a paradise, if it was going to open up the gates of hell. They have no fucking clue, but you're pretty sure it's going to lead you to the loot line, so fuck it, you're going for treasure, bitch. And yeah, for this, you're not really getting any new crew. You got all of that in the first game. Instead, you're basically just interacting with this crew and dealing with the fact that you're maybe dying? Possibly? Turns out you're at your peak, and that means everything's going downhill. And it seems to be implying that you're also dying, but maybe not. It's very confusing. I'm not really sure what's going on fully when it comes to that aspect. So you're dealing with that and all these old memories from back when you and actually one of your crew members were both slaves to these other pirates back in the past. And you're just dealing with all of these emotions and interacting with your crew, and they're helping you deal with this crap, which is interesting because the first game was more like, hey, let me recruit you, and if you join me, you get this dick. which is
whatever makes you happy, story. Right?
Exactly.
Live your best life.
So now it's getting kind of into the emotional realm instead of, hey, I got a dick. Huh? So that's it's nice. And since one of your crew members was also a slave with you, if you choose to interact with her a lot, you are increasing your relationship with her, but she's also helping you through this, and she has a deep connection to all of this because she was with you, whereas lots of the other crew isn't. So Guy went with her the entire first playthrough that I've been doing. Does expect you to play through with everybody for achievements, though. And yeah, most of this is you going to new exotic locations and having sex with new pretty women who sadly do not join the crew, which makes me sad, and interacting with the crew members as you see fit. If you want, you can interact with all of them and sleep with all of them as you want. The setup for this is usually you can pick one of them for this set of interactions, and then the story continues, and oh, now you're interacting with something else. You can pick a different crew member if you want, but that doesn't max out your relationship with them, doesn't make you as close to them, you don't get to see how they interact to your background and how you're helping them deal with some of their past issues, unless you're really just choosing one to go with basically the entire time, which is kind of sad. because I would really like to just do all this in one playthrough personally, because I'm a whore and I'm okay with that. But hey, it is what it is. But yeah, there's not a lot to say here. It's a visual novel. And it's an adventure one, so you get to make your choices. Usually these choices are, you know, do I choose violence? Do I choose to hit on the girl? Or do I choose to interact with the person who's actually trying to talk to me? All of them, in the end, eventually lead to similar situations. Not always necessarily the exact same one, but very similar at the very least. Or it's choosing one of the girls. So there's not a ton of difference here. The ending isn't going to be super impacted by this. The ending is more what girl you focused more on. It ends up being more close to you. But otherwise, the ending is the same no matter what. So, yeah, there's sadly not a lot to talk about unless I want to spoil the story, and I kind of don't.
No, yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah, that's kind of the important part of a visual novel is.
Well, then let's get to the second important part. It's $12. What do you think?
But it's totally worth it. But again, you need the first game to really understand what's going on and have the backstory that you need to understand, you know, everyone's situations. So
if you're not already invested in the story, pick up the first one to see if you like it. If you are balls deep, you're already ready.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds good. All right, and with that, we are done with this episode. Big thanks to you two for hanging out the whole time. Big thanks to Horror Acolyte and to Bree, what was her? Reiner. Man, new people. It's going to be tough to remember. Yeah. Big thanks to Bree and Horak Light coming on, hanging out for a little bit, chatting with us. Music, since we played Parking Garage Rally Circuit, how about Mario Circuit from the 1UPS?
That works with me.
I approve.
Mario Kart.
Approve.
Hell yeah. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
No, my brain is rotten right now. I got nothing. Aki would say something like titty 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 boo boobs or something.
Actually, no, it wouldn't. Joe, why don't you say final words today? It's been a while since you've done it.
Titty titty boobs.
That's true. Well,
fair enough. Someone had to say it, right?
Yeah, I can't argue with titty titty boo boobs.
Good idea, bad idea at the same time. Let's all say it at the same time. 1, 2, 3. Titties, titties, boobs, boobs.
Boob, boob. What you gonna do, do? About them titty, titty, boob, boobs.
Thank you for turning that into a song. That was great. We need to make that a voice clip.
Joe's like, I already did it.